The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. Live from the Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge Studios, here's Charles Hanegriff.
After 8 long years, the drought is over, baby!
And I don't know if I'm more relieved or exhausted.
My phone won't stop vibrating right now.
I turned my phone off in the first quarter.
I'm about to.
One of the best football games I've ever seen. One of the gutsiest performances I've ever seen out of a team, out of a running back, out of a quarterback, out of a coach, out of a offensive play calling group, out of the opponent.
Just the grit.
Everything, man.
Like, when you're talking about a hell of a damn game, this is everything you talk about. I mean, the way it gets close, the way guys make big plays. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, greatest game of his career. I mean, he really showed up. Joe Burrow being consistent. It doesn't get any better than that.
We're not going to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire having one of the greatest game of his career. We're going to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire having one of the best games in the history of the school for a running back. Given the circumstances, given what was on the line today, given that this was a albatross around the neck, the elephant in the room, use whatever adjective, use whatever comparison you want to use, but this was the game, this was the opponent, this was the mountain that they've had to climb for so long. This is the thing that followed everything that was said about LSU football since January of 2012, which is good, bad, or indifferent, can you beat Alabama? And for 8 years, the answer was no. The answer changed tonight. The answer changed this afternoon in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And there wasn't a player, there wasn't a coach that didn't know what was on the line today. And I got to tell you, at 33-13 at the half, for some reason, I felt comfortable. What a stupid way to feel.
You know,
when you know who's on the other side.
I told you when we walked into the studio, I said, I'm still nervous. And I just had a feeling it was going to be a close game. But, man, I've never been this excited about an LSU football game since I played.
That's how hard it is to go into that stadium and beat that team and that coach.
Coach, when you're, I forgot what they said, 38-4, 36-4, 32, or 72-4. To win on the road against a great team like that, against a quarterback that is considered the number one quarterback in the draft, I think slots have changed as far as that, but, man, that was a hell of a game.
The team that came out rattled early was Alabama.
Yes.
Much to my surprise, from the very first drive, and it allowed LSU to build a lead that they would need every bit of. Because by the time Alabama found themselves, they were in a 20-point hole, and damn if they didn't make it all up.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow had the weight of the world on his shoulders. We talked about this on Friday, Rich, that he went into this game having to know whether he would speak it out loud or not, that everything from conference championships to the playoffs and potential national championships to the Heisman Trophy to the first round to the first pick in the NFL draft, all of that, the entire football world, college and pro, was watching nine today.
Yeah.
And he didn't flinch. Not at one single point, whether it was through the air or on the ground. He made every play they needed him to make. And the Heisman Trophy race is over.
Oh,
that's
no
it.
Doubt.
You can ship that dude to Baton Rouge, wherever he is. Send it to his place of residence, because that race ended today.
We said 4, 5, 6 weeks ago that the Heisman Trophy was going to be won on this night. And when Joe Burrow comes out there, he passes for 393 yards, 3 touchdowns, 80% completion, or 79.5, whatever it is. He had the game that he needed to have, and it's perfect.
The third down conversions in the second half, when they had to answer, when it felt like they were up 6 and it felt like they were down 6, the third down conversions that they had to make. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't care how tall he is. Whatever his official height is, 5'8", 5'9", whatever it is, his heart's twice as big. I've never seen in my life a guy just take it over at that point in the game. You think everybody in the stadium didn't know he was getting the ball that last time?
Oh, he told you, said you can't measure his heart. And that's one of the things that, I mean, he's the type of player that when you go out and watch, he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, but he knows how to be slippery at the right times. Unbelievable.
Good luck trying to get him down. We see this situation all the time where a team is down one score and they've got timeouts left and they have to take them. And the offense is charged with getting a first down to end the game. And it's always a difficult decision for a coach. Do you play aggressive and try to put the clock out? Or do you play field position? Do you trust your quarterback or do you trust your defense? What's the play call? Is it two runs and a pass? Is it a pass and two runs? How do you get the clock to zero? And Clyde Edwards-Helaire took all of the guesswork out of it because he drug an entire Alabama defense 10 yards. This guy that's 5'9" and 210 pounds drug an entire Alabama defense.
He put the game on his shoulders. I mean,
he said, we're going to win right here, and I'm going to take care of it.
He was the guy that wanted to end the game. I mean, Joe Burrow's been great, but Clyde, the way he played today, that last drive, getting the ball, and I mean, he got hit at the 5-yard mark and drove for 5-6 more yards to get that first down. And what he said is his heart can't be measured is the truest statement.
Alabama, as you would expect, never went away. Tua made some mistakes today. There were times where you could tell he was really, you know, feeling it. One play in particular late in the game where there was an open path to the end zone, a ball. Yeah. He usually tucks and takes to the end zone. He threw it anyway. It was actually dropped. It looked like it was knocked away. But you got to give him credit. I mean, he hung in there. Rough start, the early fumble. He kept coming, man.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when Saban and his offensive coaches go back and look at this, they'll probably ask themselves why they didn't turn to Najee Harris earlier in the game. Because he only had 4 carries in the first half, and he was the one that really ignited them and took some of the pressure off of Tua. And then the doggone 85-yarder at the end, and it's like, you know, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wait a minute.
Right when we start trying to get a little bit excited, a little calm down, they hit the quick score. And, you know, everybody gets nervous at that point because if you go back to the onside kicks we've had earlier in the year, they've all been close. And you're wondering which one's going to hit.
Wasn't an easy ball to field at Jefferson.
No, I mean, Jefferson did a hell of a job right there. Going up for a ball like that is as tough as it can be. And the way it was turning, he made an awkward catch. And I still didn't feel good right then. Like, Clyde ended it for me.
Tell me that we're watching the end, and Musso, who's nervous, is, you know, I'll get out in here. All of the players are out on the field, the coaches, everybody's shaking hands, and for some reason the clock stops at 3 seconds, and Musso goes crazy. What do you mean?
We all thought we're done, and Musso goes, hold on.
There's 3 seconds.
Clock stop.
I can't tell you, I wasn't thinking the same thing. He just got it out first. There's no question who the number one team in the country is. There's no question who the team that's accomplished the most is. There's no question that the stature of Ed Orgeron nationally went through the roof tonight. There's no question.
Top 10 win.
There's no question that Joe Burrow won the Heisman today. And more than anything, the stigma of not being able to get past Alabama. I'm old enough to remember the win in 82. I didn't realize the significance of it. I was too young, but I did remember watching that game. And I remember what I call grown-ups back then telling me we finally beat the Bear. And I didn't know what that meant because at that point, they had not beaten the Bear in my lifetime.
Yeah,
I know what this means today. I think everybody, when they calm down, sober up, wake up tomorrow, whatever, will understand that LSU put their stamp and said, we back, boys.
No doubt.
We'll see you in Atlanta. We'll see you in the playoffs. This was a great, great day to be an LSU Tiger.
And it
ain't over yet. We're going to go back to Tuscaloosa. We're going to try to find the president of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan club in Jacob Hester membership going through the roof next week.
He can charge a little extra right now.
Cordy Rush is somewhere. We got a press conference that we're trying to find. This is going to be fun, y'all. This is going to be fun. Settle in. Tigers win it 46-41. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Bear with me as best you can here. We, you know, for the better part of two decades, I did post-game 90 minutes after the game. I had time to collect my thoughts and still getting used to the new format 2 years in. But usually, I've never seen you this fired up. I'm doing my job. You know, I'm going through all this stuff. I'm putting stuff together well before the game is over. And put anything together before the game was over. I'm sitting here watching till the end of the game, all the way until Musso goes, "There's still 3 seconds. There's still 3 seconds."
Hey, I told you. I said I'm too emotional right now. I can't take notes.
Yeah, I took notes. Whether or not I'll be able to read them or not is going to be a great question. But we're looking. We're getting our first real chance to digest the stats here, and we are waiting on the Ogeron press conference. As soon as we get that. We're going there. We got Hester. We got all that. So I would imagine everything's going to be delayed just a little bit. They may not come out of the locker
room. There's a party in the locker room right
now. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a fun flight home, huh?
Yes.
we were looking at this thing. 79 offensive plays.
Yeah.
I said during the week, I said, look, 75, I think, would be plenty. 7 yards per 559 total yards for LSU. And Alabama, you know, through the first half with the 13 points, you could look at it and you could say, man, you had the punt return, and then you had the play where Stingley gets distracted from his own sideline,
yeah,
where they go for the long touchdown. It's like, man, look, the defense really – and they brought pressure. And I know that I didn't really monitor social media at all, but I've heard enough from just my friends, and I turned my phone back on, is, you know, what's Aranda trying to do, give us a heart attack? And I'll tell you that, you know, first thing is they fought a lot of guys going out in the second half. Stevens went out. Logan went out. At one point, they were down three defensive backs at one time, I believe. And he played a lot of man. The only one I really is the last one, you know, the 85-yard. It's like, look, man, you up two scores with a minute and a half to go. Back up. You lost
That's
me on that one, but,
question. Yeah.
But the rest of them, it's just like, man, Smith's going to play in the NFL, and Judy's going to play in the NFL, and Ruggs is going to play in the NFL, and Harris is going to play in the NFL, and Waddle's going to play in the NFL. They're going to make some plays.
Yeah.
And could Tua rightly get him the football? He missed a few, but, you know, for him to come back and not have practiced, I mean, what did they say, 80% of Tua is better than –
most quarterbacks.
All but about, you know, two or three quarterbacks in the country. For Burrow, 31 of 39, 393 yards. And some of the highlights that we'll just, you know, go through here many, many times. The drive where they convert the three third downs, this was the drive late in the or early in the fourth quarter where they start on their own 25 and Alabama's cut it to 33-27. There was a third and three completion to Justin Jefferson where he catches the ball basically between his knees. The ball went off his hands and came down in between his knees. He held on. Then the third and 10. Of all the plays Clyde Edwards-Helaire made tonight, I'm not sure any was bigger than this. It's 33-27. It's about 10 minutes to go in the game. And they're at their own they're at the Alabama 35-yard line, and it's third down and 10. And Burrow's under pressure, and he's got to swing it out to Edwards-Helaire, who looks dead to rights at about somewhere between 4 and 6 yards,
yeah,
and just pushes all the way for the first down. And we even here in the studio didn't think that it was going to depend on the spot. Maybe he didn't make it. Look like, and then you hear the band's like, okay, well, somebody did something. And then on third down and 5 from the 20, the quarterback draw for 15. This was before the other quarterback draw that you had that ended up being a pass. And then the spin move from Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the touchdown. They're calling. I think the sideline reporter said that might be Burrow's Heisman moment.
The
15 yards. Take your pick. Really,
there's a few.
And then you come back, and then the next drive was the one that. This is where everybody's heart, I think, got in their throat for the last time. We got Ed? Look behind you. We got Ed. Forget what I was saying. Go to Ed.
Very proud of our football team. All the guys put in a lot of hard, 166 yards rushing. I mean, the last time that happened against us in Alabama, I don't know. 393 passing. Clyde, what you said about Clyde, 103 yards in that last first down to seal the game. That victory formation was very, very nice. Our team's happy. We're going to protect the team tonight. Uh, get rested tomorrow, get well. Got a lot of guys banged up. Physical fight out there. Oh, no miss. Any questions?
Yeah, Ed, years ago, you said we would come.
Yeah.
Are you there yet?
Yeah, we're there tonight, for sure. Now, I, you know, we got to see where to seal the game. That victory formation looked very, very nice. Our team's happy. We're going to protect the team tonight. Get rested tomorrow. Get well. Got a lot of guys banged up. It's a physical fight out there. And oh, no, miss. Any questions?
Yeah. Yeah,
we're there tonight, for sure. Now, we got to see. We got to see where this leads us. We took a big step in beating Alabama, obviously, tonight. I knew we were a better team. I didn't think we were out physical at all. I thought we could handle them physically. Now, they made some plays. We made some plays. But I think we're right there where we need to be. Yeah, we needed it. We needed those offensive ends. I asked the guys, they were throwing the football. I said, can we run it just a little bit, please? And we are ahead. So we ran the clock out a little bit, but then a little zone read by Joe Burrow and put the ball in his hands. He's going to make plays. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, great night.
Is that a Heisman Trophy performance by your quarterback tonight?
I think it is. Well, I don't vote, but if I get a vote, I'm going to give it to him. I promise you that.
You talked about the three-year process to get here tonight.
Yeah.
What that was like, if you knew that you felt like you had something in place.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? When I got on the plane coming here, I felt like, you know what? We got it. We finally got the tools that we need. We finally got the players that we need. We finally got the coaching staff that we need to beat these guys. I told that to Steve Ensminger sitting on side of him. I told that to Greg McMahon. And I feel with the combination of going to the spread offense, keeping Dave Aranda, Steve Ensminger, Joe Brady, Greg McMahon, and obviously the recruiting, those great receivers that we had in our defense have gotten better. So, and then I think Joe Burrow, just to have a championship team, you need to have a championship quarterback. So I felt like we had it. And obviously I knew we had to do it, but we did it.
And you always talk about how this isn't about you. You grew up in South Louisiana. This was your dream job.
Yeah.
Just what are you feeling right now to have come here and
It's never going to be about me. I'm so happy for that team right there, that coaching staff in the state of Louisiana. Hell, I might be able to go to the 7-Eleven now and get me a Monster or a Red Bull, and they will have to tell me, hey, Coach O, you got to beat those guys, I'm going to tell them I beat them. You watch the game.
What's
that? I think it's phenomenal. We had a lot of recruits at the game tonight. I texted them. They called me. I think a lot of them are wearing their purple and gold socks tonight. And I think there are a lot of guys that want to come and be a part of our great football team. They want to get coached. They want to get developed. We have a couple of spots left, and I feel like we're going to get some great players in those spots.
What did you tell your team at halftime?
Keep going. Keep going. 60 minutes. 60 minutes. And look, we knew we was going to have to make plays. We felt this was going to be a 60-minute game. Nothing's easy when you're going to play a team like this that hasn't lost here in a long time, I imagine. But, we knew we was going to have to make the plays down the road.
What did you see from Rashawn?
What's that?
Defensive line for Rashawn
Morris. Yeah.
Leaders there.
Every team was... in recruiting, Rashard Lawrence and I talked about this. And they didn't want to be the only senior class to ever not beat this team. And there was a lot of motivation. Rashard did a great job of leadership. So did Kilimon Chasson. I thought Tyler Shelvin played strong in the middle. But that's what it takes when you come play a team like this.
Was there ever a time you felt slipping away?
Yeah, they started coming back. It started coming back, and there was a little 7 route right there that Joe missed. It'd have been a touchdown. Obviously the sack fumble, there was a couple plays that we missed. We just feel like we just couldn't put them away. And Tua got hot, and they started beating us 1-on-1, made some big plays. But, I always felt that we was going to win the football game.
Coach, 8 years ago we were here, LSU won 9-6. There's a possibility that you would see these guys again down the road.
Sure. They're a good team. Yeah. No, sure, ain't no telling what's going to happen down the road, but sure.
After years of not being able to move the ball and score against these guys,
yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, to be honest with you. And here, you know, we got shut out and all that. We didn't score a point against them, but yeah, we have a good offense. And they have a good defense. And I thought that we had a great game plan tonight. Obviously, they came back in the second half and made some adjustments. But we made the plays. You know, well, we had 46 points against them. And obviously, that made up for a couple of years.
Did you all take any different approach this week to this game?
No. I told them on Monday, you're the better football team. I never told this team that going into Alabama. I said, we are going to win the football game. We got to take care of business. And we have to take care of practice today. We're going to block out the noise. We're going to take care of practice. We get on that plane, and we're going to beat Alabama. And I told them, I do believe you're the best football team. That's the first time I've told them that.
And in what way does Joe make a difference in the middle of the game?
You know,
we see his play on the field, but it seems like he's a guy that
Yeah, he's always coming off, man. He's always coming off and talking to the offensive line, talking on the headsets with Steve, able to make adjustments. The guy's smart. You can do just about what you want to throw the football. He can extend plays with his feet. And how about those quarterback runs tonight? I thought he was fantastic.
Hey, Coach, being from Louisiana, you know how much LSU means to the state overall. This rivalry the past few years consumed the state and the fan base. Just what's your message now that finally snapped that streak?
This won't be the first. It won't be the last. We're coming.
Coach.
We're coming. This won't be the last time. We're there. We're going to continue to rise. We're going to continue to make progress in this program to bring a championship back to Louisiana. We'll continue to recruit, continue to get great players, and it's not the first time we're going to beat them. I promise you that.
Coach, will you hold the key to Joe Brand at the end of the game? Will you just kind of keeping that on ice for weeks, waiting for the right
game? Yeah. You know, we don't want to get Joe hurt, obviously. But when we need it, we can run the zone read, and he is phenomenal at it. And it was a great call by Steve Ensminger, and it was a great pull by him.
You talked about Clyde Edwards a little bit, but he was not the big recruit and all that.
Yeah. Louisiana, you know, he loves LSU. He's a hard worker. He's a great young man. He's a team leader. Comes to work every day. Nothing's too hard for Clyde. He is an outstanding back, an outstanding man from Louisiana. I'm proud of him.
Coach, you said that.
I don't know that. You know, I told the team there'll be bigger games. When we beat Alabama, there'll be bigger games down the road. And obviously, we're gonna look at the tape, and we're gonna see where, you know, we didn't play so well in some spots, and we're gonna get better, and then we're gonna focus on beating Ole Miss, and then we're gonna take it one game at a time and get better. This team has gotten better every game, and I want them to get better next week. Just take the next step. What's that?
What did you see just to be able to
out-duel Alabama? Yeah, I think it's huge. First of all, you got to have the players. I think we have a great receiver core. So do we. So do they. We have a great quarterback. So do they. I thought our guys wanted it tonight. I thought our guys were persevere. I thought our guys were hungry. And I thought our coaching staff did a great job.
Coach, you and not Joe Burrow embraced after the game.
Yeah.
Is there anything you could pass on that he said to you?
Yeah, I'm glad we went to Mike Anderson and ate crawfish that night and he decided to come.
Did you see him getting carried off?
What's that?
Did you see him getting carried off?
He deserved it. If they carried him off, he deserved it. He deserved every bit of it.
Asking if you're
going to
do the hockey dance like you said.
Well, I'll do it, but I ain't going to do it on no darn video.
one more for Coach.
Did you
here
tonight?
Coco's here tonight. Here? Yeah, because she's raising Cain in the stadium. I promise you that. Saying that's my boy. I know that. Thank you, guys. Go Tigers.
Transfer, I wanted to play. I knew I could play on this stage, and, you know, I got great people around me, great coaching staff, great program all around, and I can't say enough good things about my offensive line tonight. You know, they have a really good defensive line. They had a pressure package that, you know, we hadn't seen a lot of this year, and they did so well for me tonight.
So, them putting you on their shoulders, what was that?
that was pretty special, you know. Having these guys embrace me the way they have, just some quarterback from Ohio that came in, last June before the season, and the way they've embraced me, I can't say, you know, it means a lot to me that this entire program has embraced me and the whole state as well.
Ed was saying on Monday, he told y'all that y'all were the better team. And, approaching that through this week and telling you that, what did that do for y'all, for you personally?
You know, I think we all knew it. We you know, we worked really hard this offseason, and, you know, I think we have a great team. And our defense really stepped up tonight. And I mean, I don't want to keep saying the same thing, but I just can't say enough good things about this program.
You didn't grow up with this. I mean, when do you think you kind of realized how much this game means?
I mean, I grew up watching football, so LSU-Alabama was always, you know, a hard-nosed matchup I enjoyed watching. You know, this was just such a great night for us. But, you know, one thing I want to make sure that we know is this wasn't our goal this year. We got more goals ahead of us. We didn't go into the season and say we're going to go beat Alabama. You know, we got more things ahead of us.
What did Clyde's performance mean tonight? Catching the ball, running the ball, all those things.
You know, we have a lot of guys on this offense and on this team that were kind of overlooked. You know, Clyde being 5'8", not everybody wanted him. Justin Jefferson, 2-star recruit, Thad Moss transfer, me transfer. It's just, I think the guys like that are mentally tough. Clyde, you know, he creates such a matchup disadvantage for the defense. He can run routes. He runs great routes. I mean, that route he ran in the red zone, that catch that he made was incredible. And then you also have to stop him on the downhill run. He's gonna play a long time.
You've been a big supporter of Ben since you've been here. You always talk about how talented you. Does this validate what you've been doing?
I think he's been validating it for 3 years. You know, the record against top 10 teams, the record on the road. You know, winning last year's bowl game, winning big games. That's just what Coach O does. He gets us ready. I don't think this proof, you know, probably elevated him to another level, but he's been proving it his entire time here.
What was your mindset after Alabama cut it to 6?
There was no panic on the sideline. We knew we had to go down and score to win the game. We were probably going to have to score twice. And so, you know, I just went around and told my guys, hey, we score 2 more times, we win the game. That's exactly what we did.
You said that every defense team knows something different. Did you see anything from Alabama that you didn't expect?
Yeah, we knew they were going to have something. Every team does. You know, they went out and they played dime a couple times. They had a pressure package that was pretty tough for me to see. I got a lot of them picked up, but they got me a couple times. You could tell they had game plan for us. They played very well in that middle of the game.
Passing in last season's game compared to this one, how you can adjust, and how comfortable throughout this game did you feel making plays?
I have confidence in our scheme. I have confidence in our coaches. I have confidence in my guys. And that's really all that it comes down to. I know, you know, in one-on-one situations, my guys are going to make a play. That's all that matters.
What did you show with the touchdown?
Yeah, you know, we have a couple, you know, fastball plays that can give defenses struggles, and you know our coaching staff does a great job of coming up with those. And you know it's hard when you go fast and you in a bunch formation, you put different people in different situations, and they gotta recognize it very quickly, and then get their defense called, and then see all the crossers and all that kind of stuff. So that's all Coach E and Coach Joe.
Was that play instituted this week, or was it something
else? I'll leave that one out. Absolutely. I think that, you know, I enjoy getting hit sometimes, and it makes me feel like a real football player instead of a quarterback. People can kind of look down on quarterbacks if they're not taking hits, but, you know, I like mixing it up in there. I told you. Nobody believed me. I told you.
Joe, how great are you? Grew up around football, and can you care less about individual awards right now? Did you ever dream of one day winning the Heisman Trophy?
Obviously, growing up, you know, you watch the ceremony, you watch how much it means to people. You grow up wanting to win that award. But then when I got to college, you know, I realized team success breeds all the individual awards, and that's all that's ever mattered to me, winning games. Like, you know, when my stats weren't great last year and we were winning games, I said the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing this year.
Joe, how many times you guys are blowing them out? Do you expect them to make a comeback? Do you think you should blow the game over?
We knew they were going to come back. That's Alabama on the other side. That's Alabama. Dynasty. You know, we knew that we were going to get their best shot in the second half. They came out firing. I loved how we responded, though.
Joe, did you enjoy the play calling on those two answer drives where you extended it to two score leads? It was the same as Texas where they really pushed it. They had them to be Brady. What's that like as a quarterback that there's faith in those close situations and you're not just...
Yeah, I got on the headset and I overheard him saying, put the ball in mine's hands. That means so much to a quarterback when those two guys the two guys calling plays have trust in you to go out and win the game. And I like to think that I've worked hard enough that they do put that trust in me and my guys trust me as well.
Joe, can take one more question.
Earlier this week, Nick Saban said your ability to extend play
Yeah, absolutely. That's just time in the weight room, you know. Everyone's called me sneaky fast for about 15 years. I think everyone knows what that means.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
We'll have the rest.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Yeah, a little bonus with Joe Burrow coming
wanted
to the podium.
To hear that.
Well, we always want to hear it, but they don't always bring him to the podium. Sometimes he was, usually with the players, it's just a group of reporters huddled around him, and it's almost impossible to get sound.
Yeah.
So we appreciate them bringing him to the podium so that everybody could hear it. You're impressed with. Well, everything, but the post game, how he handles himself.
No, I love it. I mean, he's the type of guy that he's just a leader all around. Like, I haven't played football in almost 10 years, and I'm looking at it like he could lead me. Like he's a leader. He says the right things. He has the right amount of cockiness. He's the guy that you want to follow. Man, he just does everything the way you want to see it done.
I want to get hit. That was
when
one of the
told,
ones
when he said. When they asked him about getting hit, he goes, well, sometimes, I really want to get hit. It just makes me feel like I'm part of the game. And
more like a football player.
That's perfect. Like, you can't say that any better.
Linemen respect that.
Well, everybody.
Everybody respects that. They brought up the quote from back in the summer where he said, I think we're going to score 40, 50, 60 points a game. Yeah. He can say that now.
Like, that's the type of cockiness, like you say, you love. When a reporter asks him about that, and he just says simply, I told you. It doesn't seem obnoxious. It just seems savvy to where, he is the quarterback that you want on your team.
I would have said he was crazy. I might have. It was one of those quotes that I sort of dismissed. I'll be honest with you.
I dismissed it.
It was one of those, this is just a player, just talking. He doesn't really mean that.
Yeah.
He's saying, we're going to score a bunch of points.
Well, that's preseason talk when you're telling everybody what you've been working on. I mean, let me take that back. Typically, that's preseason talk. He was telling the truth.
When do you expect a team to go into Alabama and score 46 points?
I think we just scored more points in Alabama than we've done previously in almost seven, 8 years.
This is the most points that has ever been scored in this series.
Yeah.
The 46 to 41 is the most points that have been scored in a game in this series. They've been playing for 100 years. So it's a pretty – when you score – last year you scored zero. The year before that you scored 10. The year before that you scored zero. And you scored – in the first quarter tonight, you scored 16 points. So get that. I'll tell you, and there's going to be so much time for us to break down every aspect of this game, but – I'll tell you the one moment that I really thought that early in the game, or in the first half of the game, I should say, that I thought this is it, that they really got them reeling. It wasn't the touchdown that they got. It was the interception, and the reason that that Patrick Queen had. And the reason we spent a lot of time looking at the end of first halves with Nick Saban when he was here, and I haven't seen every one of his while they're at Alabama, but he's got a – it's not quite as rigid as having a chart of when you're going to try and push the tempo and try to score before the end of the half or shut it down. But it's – he was pretty consistent. If he was inside his own 35-yard line and it was under a minute to go, it was pretty much run the clock out and let's go to the locker room. From his 29-yard line with 23 seconds to go, for him to push the envelope there, and I know they were behind, okay, but at that point, they were behind 26-13. It's not an insurmountable lead by any stretch, and they decide to throw the football there, and I got to tell you, I was shocked. Yeah. I was literally packing up my stuff to drive here for the second half, and I'm like, he threw the football? And then, of course, it gets intercepted. Then the penalty. Then you get the touchdown pass, and it felt like any other team, that's the dagger. That's it. Not these guys. But anybody else, that puts you away. This very last part of the first half where you make these two colossal mistakes back-to-back, and then you get a touchdown tacked on you, and instead of going in down 13, you go in down 20. That's it for anybody. And at that point, I knew he's playing out a character because he thinks he has to. And you never see that with him. No, I mean, I haven't seen that in him. Let me take that back. The onside kick against Clemson.
Yeah,
that was the one time. Okay, and that was in the second half. But you almost never see him push the boundaries outside of what is the norm for him because he feels like he has to. And at that point, I'm like, he thinks he's in trouble.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, we talked about it when we were coming up. We both arrived at the studio at the same time. When he goes to run the offensive plays instead of downing the clock going into halftime, he knew he had to score points. And he also knows that, you know, typically Tua in the Alabama offense, they can score quick. And he was feeling that. And he wanted to score quick to make it a closer game. But, that was completely unexpected.
The 23 seconds left from your own 29-yard line, I'm sure there's some analytics somewhere that'll tell you what your percentages are to score. And I understand he's got some of the most explosive receivers in college football. And Tua was starting to feel a little bit better than, you know, some of the things that happened to them in the first quarter. But when they threw that ball, it really opened. Before Queen even intercepted, I'm like, he thinks he's in trouble. And he almost never does because he almost never is.
Yeah.
That was the eye-opening moment for me.
When they say when they're down by 10 – that it's the first time, it's the biggest deficit they've had since 2015. He's not used to playing from that position.
In a regular season.
Yeah. And he's not used to playing from that position. And he just was out of character. And I told you, I said, I left my house before the interception happened because I thought it was going into halftime.
I'm packing my stuff. I'm packing my things to come here. And I'm like, did they just really throw the ball? Are you kidding me? Wow. And of course, as good as we felt at halftime, we walked in here and everybody's going crazy. You feel like, oh, the game's over. Just come out the second half, stick a touchdown in there, and you might actually, you know, put them to bed. And that was the turnover. They got up near midfield, and then they had the turnover, and then they got a three and out. They got it back. They got to the fourth and one on the next one, and they thought about going for it, and then it thought better, and they punted it, and that's when Alabama started to get their offense going a little bit. Anyway, that was an eye-opening moment for me where, to me, Saban, knowing him as well as we do, it's like, he knew that he was in trouble.
Well, it tells you everything about this game is when was the last time Nick Saban went for 5 fourth-down conversions? I mean, he typically doesn't do that.
I guess the times that they have been beaten – Clemson's the only team that's really taking them and just beating them up one side and down the other. The other games, they were showing the Manziel game. They were down 20, but they got it back down to 3. You just know they're never going to – I mean, it's like the worst horror movie you've ever seen. I mean, is the guy dead? No. Here he comes back from up under the floorboard or out of the lake or wherever. And that's what they do. So you understand, hey, man, for this guy to play it like that in the first half, down 13. Look, if they're down 28, then yeah, whatever. But you know, 13 points. It's bad, but it's not is not in, or insurmountable.
They gave us what we needed to get the momentum going. When you have Tua fumble the ball untouched on the first drive, then you have the punter drop the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it was things that typically doesn't happen for LSU. I mean, you're sitting there saying, everything is working the right way.
They made a couple of unforced errors, and I know they came back. I did miss it, but we were getting straight in the studio, so I know they had another explanation of the call on Thaddeus Moss.
Yeah.
And his foot was out of bounds, and the whole did he reestablish, was he pushed, the whole deal. I missed the second explanation. I caught the first one. But if there's any question about his foot was out of – there's no question his foot was out of bounds first. Did he get back in? It's kind of call you don't expect to get over in Tuscaloosa.
Regardless, and, you know, we can talk about the call in the game. That's the most athletic play by a tight end at LSU I've ever seen in my life. I was talking to my dad. I said,
"You play tight end, you know."
I couldn't have done that.
You were pretty good.
Yeah, but I didn't have the thought to get my toes back in. I mean, that was so much of his dad right there.
It did.
That was so much Randy Moss-esque. It was the best play by a tight end I think I've ever seen.
It was quite coming from you. That's a hell of a compliment. Your name's all over the record books for different tight ends. We'll take a break. We're going to try to go back to Tuscaloosa. It's quite the scene over there as they're trying to fight their way to the
plane.
How long did the president stay? Anybody know? Did he stay to the end?
They probably didn't show him again after the first quarter. So.
Yeah, he must. Anyway, it's still hard getting out of there.
Better be an LSU fan.
We're going to try to get back over there. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU wins it 46-41 and puts 8 years of frustration to bed tonight. And a lot of people to bed too tonight. Not right now.
I was about to say, there's a lot of people that ain't going to bed yet.
No, they're not going to bed, but they may pass out at some point. And I talked to so many people, Rich, this morning that were pacing around.
Yeah.
Just nervous energy. I was watching Minnesota Penn State mostly. But there were people that were just, I need something to do. Like, if this would have been a night game, people would have lost their mind by, like, 6:30.
I had people sending me pictures of them pouring their first drink at about 11:30.
Oh, I got no problem.
Because they were so nervous.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, you know, Irish coffee is probably this morning for a lot of people. But so let's talk a few minutes about what this means. Obviously, LSU in first place in the SEC West, inside track to the SEC championship game. You've got the one game lead, and now you've got tiebreaker. So you do still have three games left. You're going to be massive favorites in all three of them,
yeah,
different degrees because one of them's on the road. But so you get to that point. Somebody asked me, we've been going through scenarios about what happens if LSU loses at Alabama and can you get in with a loss. Don't have to worry about that anymore. So if you get to the SEC championship game undefeated, that to me, your ticket to the playoff is punched.
Yeah,
almost win or lose. Now we gotta see how that turns out. But I think you're in a situation now where if you went 12-0 and you somehow lost the SEC championship game, I think they're still going to the playoffs. Now you can't go and stub your toe and lose as a big favorite the next 3 weeks, but you did as much as you could through 9 weeks to punch a ticket to the playoff, which is not supposed to be given until after week 13. You did everything you could do through 9 weeks, and I don't just mean everything you could do. I mean anything anybody could do.
You're talking about 9 weeks. You got 4 top 10 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done everything they possibly can through 9 weeks.
Two of them on the road.
Yeah.
And Texas got a win tonight late. Not that really matters all that much anymore. I did not hear Nick Saban's press conference, given some of the comments we got in the Bayou Ford huddle, some of the stuff I've just been glancing at during the breaks. He's already lobbying for a one-loss Alabama team to get in the playoffs. And my answer to that is no. And it's not because I don't think they're one of the top 4 teams in the country. I do. If Oklahoma, who we're watching tonight, played Alabama tomorrow, I think Alabama would beat them by 3 touchdowns. Yeah. And I think they'd beat probably most of the teams in the Big Ten, probably save Ohio State comfortably. I think they'd beat Oregon. I think they'd beat Utah out of the Pac-12. I think they'd beat Clemson, the way Clemson's playing right now, although Clemson has played a lot better the last 3 weeks. But that doesn't matter. It's probably going to matter to the committee. It wouldn't matter to me. I think it matters what you do on the field, not what, you know, some eyeball test tells you. I mean, at some point you have to say, Do they look like one of the best four teams? Yeah, but you know, you scheduled Duke, and when you scheduled Duke, it better be with a round orange ball and a hoop with a net underneath it if you want it to count. And so, I can't tell you that they're not getting in.
No, okay? I mean, you got.
But I wouldn't think that with what's left on their schedule that they can make a good faith based argument that what they have put on their resume is deserving of getting in. But I can't tell you that the committee's not going to look at it and go, well, they lost one game and they really look good and Tua was a little bit hurt. I hate that. I hate when the committee gets into prediction business to say, well, it would have been different. Yeah. No, you don't know. I mean, we've seen three touchdown favorites lose three consecutive. Well, you don't know. So why don't we go with what we've seen on the field?
Yeah.
And
you got one top 50 win. I mean,
and they still got to play. They still got to play Auburn.
And I still think that they're going to beat Auburn. Honestly,
I do.
The way that they play tonight, it's not like we went out and beat a bad Alabama team.
No, that's a very good Alabama team.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very good Alabama team. I think they win the rest of the games on their schedule. And yeah, you're going to need some things to help out. I think you're going to need a Penn State to beat Ohio State for them to get back into it. But, I mean, you can't take anything away from this win.
But somebody's got to win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I think they're one of the four best teams in the country right now? I do. Do I think they're one of the four most deserving teams in the country? I do not.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the Heisman. In my head, Joe Burrow won the Heisman tonight.
You've said all along you win the Heisman in November.
You win the Heisman in November. You win the Heisman in big games. They don't get any bigger than this. The guys – box score line tonight
you
was unbelievable.
80% of your passes for over 300 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. You could have not predicted a better game for Joe Burrow.
No, this is as good as it is, and I'm still looking.
Big run after big run.
Yeah, we thought they might have called that the turnover an interception. It looks like
it's not on the stat sheet.
It's not. They were calling it a fumble. We had a little bit of a discrepancy on that on the early return. So you're saying no interception. And really, it wasn't an interception.
It got knocked out of his hand.
So the stat line that he put up tonight, all he's got to do is finish the season.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I don't see it.
Where I feel good is the type of leader he is. He already said that there's three more games on the schedule. We got to start focusing on them. We got to start focusing on Ole Miss. I mean, he does everything, says the right things, but not only says it, he's believable. I believe everything he says.
We'll spend probably the back portion of next week worried about the letdown going to Ole Miss and trap game and all that stuff. And it'll all be legitimate, but they're going to go win that game. I mean, enjoy this one for a little bit. I mean, you've earned it.
Yeah.
I get 24-hour rule and 48-hour. I get all of that stuff. Go enjoy this just a little bit.
They're going to enjoy this game.
That's probably the easiest prediction we'll make of the night. We got more. Your phone call's coming up here in about 25 minutes. We do not know if we're going to be able to hook up with anybody else in Tuscaloosa. Apparently, it was a rush to get out of the stadium, onto the bus, to the plane, and home.
I have a feeling it was probably an expanded party in the locker room for a little bit, which is causing the delays to
get on the bus. We're going home. Yeah. All right. Take a break. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. One Game Day, the First South Farm Credit College Football Scoreboard. First South Farm Credit, financing farms and land since 1916.
It's a Scoreboard Show after all. I'll tell you who to root for later, but for the moment, just hang with me. Georgia leading Missouri 13-0. That is late in the first half. Cal leading Washington State 13-5, also late in the first half. App State leading South Carolina 13-6. Late in the first half. Clemson leading North Carolina State 28-0 at the end of one. Remember all those things I said about South Carolina's got a puncher's chance at Clemson at the end of the show? I hope that doesn't happen. Remember how early I was hoping that'd happen? I hope that didn't happen now. I'll explain later. Notre Dame leading Duke 14-0 early second quarter. Kentucky leading Tennessee 13-3 now. Tennessee just got a field goal about 9 minutes to go in the first half there. BYU leading Liberty 17-7. Oklahoma leading Iowa State 14-0. Earlier today, number one Ohio State beat Maryland 73-14. Big bullies. Number 17 Minnesota beat number four Penn State 31-26. We'll have some thoughts on that game a little bit later too. Number 10 Florida beat Vandy 56-0. Baylor beat TCU 29-23. That went triple overtime. Baylor stays undefeated on the season. Number 13 Wisconsin beat number 18 Iowa 24-22. Texas beat number 16 Kansas State 27-24. Virginia Tech beat number 19 Wake Forest 36-17. And let's see, number 25 SMU outlasted East Carolina 59-51. Number 20 Cincinnati beat UConn 48-3. Southeastern Conference games. As excited as LSU fans are. And this is this the most excited LSU fans have been since 2011?
No doubt.
I would think. Okay. For Arkansas, it's rock bottom. It's the exact – as high as LSU is, that's how low Arkansas is right now.
I told you, I got Arkansas people asking me for LSU gear right now.
Yeah, sure. Western Kentucky beat them 45-19. If Chad Morris makes it to lunch tomorrow, I'll be surprised. still is the head coach there. And Ole Miss beat New Mexico State 41-3, and that is your college football scoreboard your top 20 plus your SEC schools. You get blown out by a Coosa team.
That's bad.
Tough. I got a good friend, over at LaBerge, our friend Sean. He's a big, big Arkansas fan. Nice, super nice guy. Just going to have to console him a little bit. But our jubilation tonight cannot be restrained as LSU beats Alabama 46-41. We'll take a break, come back. We're just about 15 minutes away from your phone calls here on Eagle 98.1 Game Day. But for now, this is the Scoreboard Show on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Tigers win it tonight, 46-41, 9-0 in the season, 5-0 in the SEC, number one in the country, whenever they decide to do those polls.
It's number one regardless.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. You know, watching Ed after the game, they hit him with the Gatorade shower. They carried Burrow off the field. And ordinarily, I wouldn't be for all this stuff. A regular season game,
yeah,
with three games to go, and this wasn't for a championship today,
yeah.
But let it go, man. Let it go. The win was that significant. It was the one hurdle that they knew they had to get out. I mean, I know T-Bob's not here right now, but if this is a this is like the part of Star Wars where
this is the part of Star Wars where
Luke Skywalker looks at Ben Kenobi and he says, "So I am a Jedi." I said, no, not quite. You got to face Darth Vader again. Oh, damn it! Here I was. I thought I completed the training. I thought everything was good. I got to go beat that guy. Damn. Okay. So if you're Ed, right, got the number six in the country last year. That's awesome, man. Fiesta Bowl was a lot of fun. And beating eight top 10 teams. That's really good. I'm happy for you. Got to beat Alabama. Yeah, you must face Saban again. You have to.
Did you get your validation today? And I thought about you earlier today when I was watching interviews and we're talking about how former Alabama players have talked about how this week is a game that they prepare for.
Yeah.
Well, in two pregame interviews, Nick Saban said, "This is a playoff game." Mm-hmm. And then another player said, "This is like the hype behind the national championship." That lets you know that, that's real, right? The way that they prepare for this game. And this is what it was. I mean, it is the game, when they're talking about the game of the century part two, they knew that these are the two easily top three most talented teams in the season. This is a national championship caliber game.
It didn't validate, let me see how I want to put this. It didn't validate whether Ogeron is the coach moving forward or not, yeah, for me. There is a gross misconception that Les Miles was fired because he couldn't beat Alabama. That's not the case. Okay. It may have been part of the case, but it wasn't even the biggest part of the case when
him
he got fired.
Conforming to
That plus they were losing games to Arkansas and Wisconsin and other teams. You know, they were losing games to Ole Miss. And look, it wasn't just because of that. If Ed had gotten his program to a point where it was, hey, look, they're 11-1, but they lost to Bama on the road, I'd have said, yeah, I mean, you know what, man, that's about as good as you can do. I mean, what else? To take over and go over the top of that, I'm extremely happy for him. When he got the job, and it was highly controversial, and I can't tell you that I was over the moon with how all that stuff went down back then, but what I said was I thought that he had a very, very high floor.
Yeah,
I thought he would recruit at a level and staff at a level that would keep the program from going Arkansas, okay, or something like that. And I thought that he could win at a level that was sort of at that Miles level, at 75%, 80%, somewhere in that area. But what I didn't know was, and I said this the day he was hired, I've still got the tape because I knew somebody was going to dredge it up on me, so I kept it. It was, can you get over that hump, okay? Yeah. Can you beat the very best teams? That was the question. I think you can beat all the teams you're supposed to beat. And even though that first year they struggled, but I think you beat all the teams you're supposed to beat. And I think you can beat the teams on your schedule that are 50-50 games most years. Auburn, Florida, now Texas A&M. I think you can win 50% of those games and then win almost all of the games. You'll beat the bottom of the division. When you draw the bottom of the East, you'll beat those guys. But I don't know if you can beat Alabama. I don't know if you can beat Georgia when they're, you know, in the top five in the country. I don't know if you can win those games.
Yeah.
If you can, great, but I'm going to have to see that first. Well, now I've seen it. And now I've seen it not just in these bizarre, hey, look at this, man. They ran a fake field goal and got a bounce or something like that. No, I saw them demolish Georgia last year, and I saw them go into Tuscaloosa where nobody's won in 4 years and put up 500 and how many yards of offense? I forgot. 500, whatever it is.
500. Just say that number.
Yeah. 500. I think it's 558 or something like that. Whatever it is. We look back at the numbers.
559.
Yeah, 559. That you can go out and find a quarterback that has got enough talent to win the Heisman Trophy and then develop him and modernize everything. We're talking about now a top three coach in the country, three to five coach in the country.
No question.
It's not it's not speculation. It's not hopeful. It's not Pollyanna. It's in black and white. And I think now that the rest of the country is going to say, hey, maybe he's got a peculiar dialect, okay? Maybe he's got a peculiar accent.
That's an LSU dialect.
Yeah. Dialect's the wrong word. Maybe he's got a peculiar accent. Miles had a peculiar dialect. But damn it, he's beaten everybody now, just about everybody.
And he's got 9 wins over top 10 teams, and it's the most wins over top 10 teams in his coaching span. I mean, he's got numbers and stats, and you look at the record, he has done better than any other coach since he's been a head coach at LSU.
And now you got to go, and you got to go win a championship. You got to go win an SEC championship. If you lose in the playoff, well, bummer, but you got to go win a championship now, and I think they will.
Yeah,
I think they are significantly better than the rest of the teams that they've got to play. Go do that, and you're in concrete now. Okay, you've
done everything you need to
do.
Georgia has the East wrapped up.
Yeah,
and I feel more confident. Like I would actually be a little bit nervous about beating or going again and play Florida twice because we've talked about this a million times. I hate playing a team twice.
Right,
but if everything I've watched, and I know Georgia's played better over the past couple weeks. I feel good about that.
I think LSU is better.
Yeah.
I didn't last year. No. I thought Georgia was better last year, before the game.
Yeah.
Then I watched the game, and, you know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, we can be in a prediction business, and we can have fun. I think this, and I think this. But when you can see it on the
facts
field, man,
yeah,
it's a wonderful thing, which is the only reason I brought that up earlier with the, oh, well, you know, this guy's injured, and if this guy wasn't injured, then this would happen. Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
I've been watching college football my entire life, and I can't tell you. So have the guys that are doing this on ESPN, and so are former coaches and all that stuff. I mean, nobody can tell us exactly what's going to happen every week. That's why we play, of course. Take our final time out. We're going to go to phone calls here in about 5 minutes. It'll be Eagle 98.1 game day, but for the moment, we are wrapping up. Presented by Home Bank, the scoreboard, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard. Presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. On 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Celebration continues outside here in Baton Rouge and all throughout Louisiana. Southeasteros, if you prefer. LSU wins it 46-41 against Alabama. And one of those, anyway, there was a pretty cool piece that they were doing on game day today. And we're gonna go to calls here in a minute. So if you want, you can start getting in line right now. 499-9898. We're gonna change it over to Eagle here in a second. They were doing a piece on games of the century, and some of them have lived up, and some of them haven't. And unfortunately, they lost. They had some technical problems, so they didn't finish it. This will go down as one of those, you know, game of the century types. Yeah. Did it not live up to everything? Did you not squeeze every second out of this one?
No, I mean, it's definitely everything you expected. I mean, everything you hoped for, a close game, a shootout, a high-scoring game. I mean, I think we were talking earlier, this is the most points scored in this game ever.
Yeah, the LSU-Alabama series, the 80 points. I'm sorry, the 87 points. It was supposed to be 80 points. I'd written that down before that last touchdown, that last ridiculous touchdown. I'd written down 80. I got to change that. It's 87, 46 to 41. No, I at halftime, I was, you know, like every other LSU person, take the opening kickoff of the second half, go down, score, and really put this thing, put the pressure all on Alabama, put it to bed and coast out. Didn't happen that way.
You know what a question was answered tonight that everybody's been talking about the previous 3 weeks? Cole Tracy can make some big kicks.
And so can Cade York?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
You said Cole Tracy.
I'm thinking of Cole Tracy. That's okay. I meant Cade York.
That's okay.
He made the kicks that we've all been questioning. I mean,
a 40 and a 45-yard. Yeah. And the missed extra point was not his fault. That pressure came off the offensive unblocked, left side. The wing, which I believe was Pettigrew, missed his block. And that was blocked. So
you can't have two kickers that name start with a C. Mess me up.
That's all right. That's all right. That's what we're here for. If I don't correct you, believe me, the huddle will.
But you know, making those big kicks, we've been saying that it's going to take. You know, you talked about it on Friday. Special teams might be the key to this game.
Yeah.
And you know, we have one blocked, but he made some big kicks. When you make two field goals, 40 plus, I mean, that's as big as it can get in this game.
And you know, I'm very happy that. We're not going to spend a ton of time talking about the officials. Lord knows we've done enough of that, you know, in other games. But they're going to debate that call on Moss down to the end. I get it. It was close, okay?
If you're going to debate that call, then I'll go back to Joe Burrow's first incompletion. It was a holding call on Jamar Chase.
I thought the game for the stakes that were there was pretty well officiated, and I'm not saying that just because LSU won.
I have friends that are the biggest Bama fans in the world, and I've already gotten text messages that said, clean game. We're not blaming anything on the refs.
Wow, you have reasonable Alabama fans.
I wouldn't go that far. But.
Okay. You know the biggest call they missed in the whole game was the face mask on Racy McMath on the punt return. You know,
it probably gets declined anyway.
I would imagine. But he almost yanked Waddle's head off, and it's like, if you're going to face mask him that bad, make sure he goes down.
Take him down.
You know, they missed that one. Again, I'll look at it, and I'll bet when Saban and them put the tape in, they'll say, why did we not go to Najee Harris earlier? Why did we only run him four times in the first half?
When he's averaging 7.7 yards a carry, I mean, Najee Harris is a good running back. And I know me and Hester talked about it a lot earlier in the week, saying that he kind of questioned his big play ability because his longest run of the year was 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, he's not the best way to say it. He's not necessarily a big play running back, but he's a running back that you can say third and seven. I feel confident he's going to get it.
He's an outstanding player. There's no doubt about it. But the performance tonight of Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be legendary.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those ones that we talk about.
That last run gets him over 100. And I know when you're talking about stats, he would have had a hell of a game, great game, not going over 100 yards rushing, just what he did in the passing game.
Yeah.
And let's not even talk about what he did with the ball in his hands. There was a lot of big plays he made where he picked up pass protections. He gave Joe Burrow an extra second. I mean – he played a complete game. He's a guy that made himself a lot of money.
We're still talking about, and I think rightfully so, the 2007 Florida game. Our friend, your longtime friend, Jacob Hester, became a legend that night. You know, all of the fourth down and what. We'll be talking about this game from Clyde like we talked about that game from Hester. We're still talking about that game from Hester. Okay, when the LSU-Florida game comes up every year and they run the highlights of the other game, they show Hester running over.
CBS did a special on it this week.
We're talking about that game from Hester in the fourth downs and all that. What are we, 13 to 12 years, you know, after the fact now, and we'll be talking about it for a lot longer. We'll be talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire's performance tonight for a very long time.
Yeah.
Not just big plays, but big plays against Alabama, at Alabama. Look, Hester had bigger runs than the one when he had against Florida. Yeah. I mean, longer runs. We except for him, nobody talks about the 85-yarder against Louisiana Tech, okay? It was Florida, okay? It was Tebow. Yeah. It was the significance of it. This was Alabama. This was Saban. This was Tua. This was one versus two. And Clyde showed up and made every big play. And that doggone spin move.
It's ridiculous. He's got the best spin move in football, NFL or college, regardless. His spin move is so tight. We were talking about it before. I've never seen a guy with his stature, the way he spins, and he just stays so compact. I mean, he is probably one of the hardest guys to tackle, not only in space, but even in confined spaces, because he is so quick and so shifty. And then on top of that, throw in a spin move.
He's strong.
Yeah,
that run at the end of the game to put it away is
just drive people another 5 or 6 yards.
Who makes that run? Who makes a run in the A gap for 10 yards on Alabama when they absolutely positively have to have a stop to have any chance to get the ball back?
I'm
who
not knocking that? Leonard Fournette couldn't do it.
No, they had 19 people at the line of scrimmage for Leonard Fournette in the first quarter. I don't know who makes that run. Yeah. I'm serious. I don't know who can make that run to take all the pressure off of, you know.
You wanted that moment to be Joe had to win the game. Honestly, when you're sitting there watching, you're like, all right, Joe's got to do something right here.
It's a minute 21. It's a minute 21, and they've got two timeouts left. So it's, okay, you're going to run it twice, and they're going to take their two timeouts, and then even Danielson's on the broadcast going, okay, there's going to be about 20 to 25 seconds when Alabama gets the ball back if LSU doesn't make a first down. And what Ensminger and Brady have got to be talking about up in the booth is, we're going to run it on first down. Are we going to throw it on second or third down? Or we're going to try to win the game now. What are we going to do here? And Clyde took all of the guesswork out of it. All right, we're going to Eagle 98.1 game day. 499-9898 is the number to call. Let's get ready.